We are continuing with the 1955 Kahlua Study Series, Chapter 23, Experience of the Christ. And before we get started, I wish to say that I am speaking to myself, so nobody needs to take these words personally. I am not singling out anyone. So let's get going with this chapter. He starts us right off with something that many of us have been considering, including me, which is, even though you've studied these principles many, many years, and you know that God is all, the only presence, and anything else appearing is just a substanceless nothing, why, if these things are true, am I not demonstrating them? Or am I demonstrating so little of them? Why, if disease is not a reality and we know it, why is there so much disease, even among us truth students? Why, after more than 100 years now of metaphysical studies, are there so few really capable practitioners, that is, practitioners that can demonstrate healing? And why, if I am faithful in knowing the truth, and I realize that God is all, that God is the only law and the only cause and the only substance and the only being, why, if I meditate every single day and declare that God's grace is my sufficiency, why can these problems go on year in and year out and so little improvement be noted, either in my own affairs or the affairs of other students whom I am acquainted with? Now, many of us know many students, both online and in our lives, and we know ourselves. And perhaps, if you are honest, you will say, this applies to me. I've been studying for over 20 or 30 years. 10, 20, 30 years. I still have these same problems, or new ones have taken their place, and they go on and on. And I've read the best books, I've studied them, and I'm still finding after years and years, I cannot heal even a headache, for myself or another. So what is the answer to all of that? This is a critical chapter in this study. Really, it's a critical chapter in your life. If you're going to come to the answer, it's going to require rigorous self-honesty. If you're going to continue to pretend that because you can quote these truths, because you can write them in statements and post them online, because you can say them over and over in your mind and come to a place of self-hypnosis where you feel at peace, if you're going to continue to believe that that's the infinite way, you might as well just not go on with this study. But if you're willing to admit to yourself you are not able to sit down and heal a headache, then perhaps you're ready to go past that place where you've been stuck or over the hump. Knowing the truth alone will not make you free. Declaring truth, reading truth, even meditating on truth will not make you free. All it will succeed in doing is multiplying your troubles, your problems, or perpetuating them. That seems odd, doesn't it? Here's the secret. The secret is, and you need to hear this, you really, really need to hear this, or otherwise we're just wasting our time. The secret is, truth is not a mental activity. It has nothing to do with an activity in your mind. And so if you're thinking these truths, if you're pondering them, if you're hearing them in your mind, well, it has nothing to do with the infinite way. Nothing to do with demonstrating these principles. Nothing to do with becoming free by knowing the truth. No, the truth has nothing to do with reading, speaking, or thinking. Those that worship God, that is, those who expect to bring the good of God into their experience through prayer or God contact, must do so in spirit, not in the mind. It is the attaining of the actual consciousness of truth that makes one free. It has nothing to do with how much truth you know. Now there's two things here. The first is, do you expect to bring the good of God into your experience out here in the world? Do you expect to be able to demonstrate harmony of mind, harmony of body, harmony of pocketbook or purse, harmony in relationships? Or do you expect to always have just sort of a warm, fuzzy feeling and a thought about truth and continue to go on decade after decade with problems in all these areas of your life? According to the infinite way, if we make that contact, and it's a real contact, then harmony will appear. So what do we expect? Do we expect these principles to work or not? Do we believe the infinite way really does demonstrate, does manifest concretely out here? Joel says and said that it does. Do we believe him? Or do we think, no, this is all an illusion and God will never manifest? You and I must admit, really, come on, get honest. If we still have problems, we have remained on the level of the mind, and that's why we haven't attained the demonstration of these principles. And if we don't admit this, we cannot progress, even after 20 or 30 years. We will continue to show forth problems and be unable to heal them. Now, what makes the infinite way unique from other spiritual paths is that it's not just a matter of having a warm, fuzzy feeling because you feel at one with God while you die from cancer. What makes the infinite way unique is that it's not just feeling a little self-induced peace of mind by chanting and having a mantra that I and the Father are one while you are going broke, or why you continue with the physical problem. What makes the infinite way is that by practicing its principles, you will not only attain the peace which passes understanding, but you will be the instrument for healings to manifest on earth. And so if you have not attained that, then you must admit you've been knowing the truth only with the mind. The vast bulk of teaching and of treating is carried on in the mind and through the mind. And they fail because the spiritual step, the next step, is omitted. And the next step is attaining that mind or some measure of it, which was also in Christ Jesus, which would enable those works to be done through us. And so there he has said outright, If you attain that mind, those works will be done through you. Not might be, not could be. And so if you are not doing the works, you must admit you have not attained the mind which was in Christ Jesus. Because if you attain it, well, by their works you will know them. Christhood is buried under so many layers of human existence, world beliefs. There's no way for it to come out into expression. For what to come out into expression? For the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Now, when we have devoted some time to learning the letter of truth, and for most of us we have devoted 10, 20, 30 or more years, then we must take the next step and say, well, this is true, so what? It isn't doing a thing for me, and it isn't going to do a thing for anyone else, unless I can make the demonstration of what we call the Christ. Now, all of us know the letter of truth. We could pass a test on it. But there must come a point of honesty where we say, so what? So what? I'm sick of that. Yes, I know the letter of truth, but it's not demonstrating. I have not proved the principles of the infinite way, because healings aren't happening. I can't sit down and heal this physical problem I have. I'm unable to sit down and heal this financial problem. I'm unable to sit down and heal this relationship problem. I'm unable to heal even a headache for a friend. And so I haven't gone past the mind. And so he says, instead of wasting a single solitary minute with any more metaphysical platitudes or cliches, and even truth, if instead of doing that, I will get back inside myself and just know that no matter what I know, it still isn't any power. If I get back inside of myself and remain silent until the Spirit of God takes over, until the Spirit of God announces itself in me, then I don't have to declare any truth, and I don't have to know any truth. He is trying, through the Kai Lewis study series, to get us to go beyond the mind, to make the actual contact with infinite, invisible Christ mind, Christ presence, Christ being. But many of us won't do it. We're fooling ourselves. We feel a little self-induced peace because we've chanted these truths in our mind and we think we've attained the Christ. And then we say, well, you know, we rationalize. Well, the reason why I still have this physical problem is because of this, or the reason I still have this financial difficulty is because of this, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. But how will you know that the Spirit of God has really been contacted? And you've gone beyond the mind. You can put this in stone. You will know because two things will happen. Number one, there will be an inner release. The click. You will feel something fall off your shoulders. An inner freedom. Not self-induced. It'll come upon you as a thief in the night. You won't even know it's coming until it's there. And number two, the outer healing will take place. And so, how do you know if you've gone beyond the mind? That place where practitioners stayed for many years and weren't able to heal people? You will know because you will experience an inner release, which has nothing to do with your mind now or knowing any truth. And from that release, you will witness a healing out here. Now those two things must take place, or you're not walking the infinite way. I'm not saying you're not on the spiritual path and you're not having spiritual experiences, but I am saying it's not the infinite way. All right. And why? Because Christ is the healing consciousness. That's what Christ is. Look at the Christ as it moved through Jesus. Everywhere it went, it healed. Christ is the healing consciousness. And so, if you go beyond the mind and you touch that Christ, you contact that Christ, then the healing consciousness will flow. And that's how you know you really have touched the Christ. And in no other way. Please stop fooling yourself. Now, he's going to give you a little demonstration or a little example of how this works in him. Suppose for a moment somebody presented me with a cancer. Do you think I could do any more about that than you could or than the surgeons could? Well, of course not. Oh, he says, I know I could turn around and say, there are no cancers in divine mind. I know all the words and some of the music. And don't we, my friends, really? Don't you? How many times have you turned around in your mind and said, this isn't happening, this is an illusion, I can drop it now, only God is here, and repeated that to yourself, or took a deep breath and calmed yourself down? And yet when you opened your eyes, it was still there, and perhaps it's still here today, still there today. The reason is you did not contact the Christ. You contacted a quiet place in your mind. And so Joel says, I know I can do that too. I can say to myself, there are no cancers in divine mind, because I know all the words too and some of the music. I know all the statements that can be made. As do you. Furthermore, I have watched for 25 years these people who know all these truths and declare them. And eventually, they have to give up their practice. And those that have the cancers usually end up giving up their lives. That's pretty serious stuff. They're turning to a practitioner that does not contact the Christ, does not go beyond the mind. Sure, the practitioner is knowing these truths within their being, perhaps pondering them and meditating on them. But they don't make the contact. They never go beyond the mind. They may feel a sense of peace and a sense of love, all in the mind. It's a counterfeit. It's not Christ. How do you know? How do you know it's the Antichrist? Because there's no healing that follows. There is a spiritual power, he says. There really actually is. There is a spiritual power that nullifies every power that has ever been known to the mind. He's speaking from the experience of having contacted that Christ. And when he contacts it, this is what he has seen personally, demonstrated in the world. People have been drowned and the spiritual power has brought them back from death. People have been injured in automobile wrecks and the spiritual power has brought them back from death. People have had every form of disease in this world, and this power has brought them back to harmony and wholeness. And this is what he has actually seen, because he has found out how to go beyond the mind and this little counterfeit peaceful feeling. There is a spiritual power, but talking about it, declaring it within ourselves, it doesn't bring it into expression. And I repeat again, what are you expecting from the infinite way? Are you expecting to make this contact with Christ and bring it into expression out here, tangibly, as healing, health, harmony, wholeness, completeness, abundance? That's what Christ is. You saw it demonstrated through Jesus. You think that was something that only happened 2,000 years ago? It's supposed to be happening through you. And if it isn't, you haven't gone beyond the mind. I don't care what you think. The proof is in the pudding. If you contact the Christ, it is brought into expression. If you walk the infinite way, that is what you must expect, to make contact, go beyond the mind, make contact with the Christ, and see it expressed visibly. What do we want? To know these truths in the mind and watch people suffer, or suffer ourselves? Or do we really want to get honest and learn the specific path, the specific principles called the infinite way, which does heal? The infinite way is the way to bring Christ into expression as healing, harmony, abundance formed. So what do we want? You can be riding along in your automobile and declare every truth you know and end up in an accident, not bring one trace of spiritual power into expression. Here we stand at a turning point, ladies and gentlemen. Let us look at our individual lives. Can you sit down, when presented with a problem, physical, mental, moral, financial, relationship, can you sit down, not declare a bunch of truths, practice what you learned in the 12 times a day, go beyond the mind, enter the silence, experience the flooding of the Christ, and witness healing, which is the evidence of the Christ? If you cannot do that, you have not yet gone beyond the mind with these truths. But you can, because he's done it, without the use of words or thoughts, bring spiritual power into immediate availability. And you can do that by turning within yourself in silence. And so you see, it is a real power which does manifest in the world. There is a spiritual power. And so he says, you must acknowledge, you must get honest, you must admit right here and right now, there is a spiritual power which is the all power of the universe, and this power is within me. But I cannot bring it forth through thinking thoughts about it. I can't even bring it forth through knowing the truth. I can only bring it forth by a degree of interior silence. Now that's the only way that we can bring it forth. A degree of interior silence. The day must eventually come to our students when they know the nature of God, the nature of prayer, the nature of individual being, and the nature of error, and the Christ, the activity of God in individual experience. Now, all of that is the letter. But once we know these things, the secret of these five things, we are then established in the letter of truth. And from then on, we know whatever is to be accomplished must be accomplished not by learning more things, but by this infinite invisible Spirit, or the Christ. So we know here, standing here, if we're honest, we have been knowing all these things in our mentality, with our mind. We may have induced a sense of peace by using them sort of as a mantra, and I don't mean repeating them over and over and chanting. I mean just knowing them in the mind a few times. We may have induced a false sense of peace, but it's not my peace. Because if it was, if it were really the Christ, we would experience the release, and the result of that release, healing, out here in this world, in our experience. So we must go beyond the mind. We know that now. Somehow we must attain the real silence. And of course you will know you have by the Christ healings that begin to flow. So, we must find this silence, which is where the contact is made. It's a silence beyond the mind. This is a big step, he says, we're going to take. And what step is that? Well, he's telling you here, the minute you know the letter of truth, and all of us do here in this class, because it only takes a year, according to Joel, the minute you know this, you will be confronted with pictures of error, multiplied from day on, more than ever before, from today on. Now he's sorry, he says, but we can't help that. That's what happens. And why does that happen, do you suppose? Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will have more and more problems, but for many of us it does. So you may have, from this day on, more and more problems. But it could also be more and more people will be bringing you problems. The point is, once you know the letter of truth, you can expect to be bombarded with problems, either yours or somebody else's. Why? Well, we've been discussing that for a half an hour. The reason is because your consciousness is going to push you to go past the letter to the silence, to the experience of the Christ, the Spirit. You are stuck in the mind. And now you are being bombarded so that you will go beyond that. So what are we supposed to do? How do we get beyond the mind to the silence? Well, in this class we've been practicing those 12 times a day. And if we haven't been practicing those 12 times a day, let's go look in the mirror and say, well, I guess I haven't wanted this really all that bad. I've been willing to settle for less than what the teacher is asking. Next, if we have been doing that, or we're willing now to do that, we are finding out something about sitting down and being silent in order to feel that quickening. But now, what are we supposed to do with these problems when they come, or problems that we still have, in order to go beyond the mind and make the contact with the Christ that heals? Well, what we're supposed to do is, above everything, do not respond to an appearance of error with a statement of truth. Don't do that from this moment on. And there's your instruction from your teacher. You are no longer allowed to be confronted with an error. Let's say it feels like you're coming down with a cold, and immediately say to yourself, "This has no power, only God is here." Nope. If you do that, if you continue to do that, you will remain on the level of the mind. And this week it may be a cold, next week it may be something more serious. No, if we're serious about this infinite way and the Kailua study series and the instructions from our teacher, we are no longer allowed to do that. It's going to feel very uncomfortable for a while. And the fact that it does feel uncomfortable, somewhat scary, as if you're free-falling without your chute opened yet, it is because you have been relying on the mind. So there's another place to be honest. If it feels a little scary to you, you can place your bet on the fact you have not gone beyond the mind. And don't lie to yourself and say it feels totally comfortable and repress those feelings inside just behind the mind that say, "Wow, this doesn't feel very comfortable at all." So, the first instruction is, don't respond with a statement of truth. Do not do that from this moment on. Instantly, here's the second part. Instantly get to the center of your being. Get in here as fast as you can and wait for the Father to speak, utter itself, or declare itself, or reveal itself. Is that clear? If you've been practicing diligently 12 times a day or 10 times a day or even 8, in which you turn within and may only say, "Thy grace is my sufficiency," or say nothing at all, and make that contact, now, here, when you are presented with an appearance of error in your lives or somebody else's, you are to do the same. You are to go within, instantly center, go to the center of your being, which is beyond the mind, and wait for the Father to speak. Don't be tempted, even with a thought or a statement of truth. If necessary, he says, your teacher says, grit your teeth and say, "Uh-uh, I don't have an answer to that," and then wait a second. Now, if you do this, totally, completely abandon yourselves to that spirit within, eventually you will see something does take place within you. Something does take over. Not anything you know, of course. Not any statement you've said that has produced a sense of peace. No, not that. That's not it. Something else. It doesn't make any difference if it doesn't happen the first time. It will happen quickly as you train yourself not to know any truth, but immediately to close your mind, open your inner ear, and wait. And let God do it within you. Let the Christ come into manifestation into this world. I cannot tell you what that experience is going to be. I can tell you how you know and how to be honest about it. You will know because you will experience an inner release, not just a sense of peace. Will you stop thinking that way? You will experience a release, It's a spiritual experience, nothing the mind can understand. And the fruitage of that will be healings in the world. That and that alone will tell you, I am succeeding in going beyond the mind. I am making the contact. Something is taking place. And now he says, we've been using the mind incorrectly. We've been using it to try to make these principles work. We've been using it to induce a false sense of peace and calling that the Christ and lying to ourselves because there hasn't been any results, any fruitage, any healings. But the correct way, the correct use of the mind, well, he says, all you can do with your mind is become aware of that which is. Your mind should be an avenue of awareness. So see, the mind is not supposed to be knowing any truth, is it? The mind is supposed to stand stock still and witness something transcendental taking place. It is the introduction of the spirit into the situation that will dispel any illusory sense. Now, please, how plain does it have to be? If it's not dispelling the illusory sense, it ain't Christ, folks. It's another belief. Now it's a religious belief, a false sense of peace, an imitation of the mind, or the mind's imitation of Christ. So, the only part we play in the demonstration, and what's the demonstration? It is the Christ flowing forth as healings. The only part we play in the demonstration is the holding ourselves in readiness, in a state of living the infinite way, so that when a call like that comes, or someone asks for help, we can get silent and let the Spirit of God take over, let the Christ. Alright, so we have to live in such a way that, well, he says later, we can't be reading, oh, things like sex novels and true crime and gossip, and we can't be watching all the latest bloody rumors and news on TV, and we can't be indulging in all of that stuff, gossip about our church friends. We can't do that and go beyond the mind. All that stuff emanates from the mind. If we're living in that throughout the day, we're not going to be able to make the contact, even if we sit down for 8 times a day. We have to live in another place. That place is contemplation. We should be practicing contemplating God throughout the day. But when the time comes to sit down, all that contemplation needs to stop. That contemplation is just a preparation that we, well, he calls it living the infinite way, so that when the call does come, we can get silent and be a witness of the transcendental spirit. So there's two parts: living the infinite way, what he calls in another book practicing the presence throughout the day, and the second part, that of closing the eyes, going beyond the mind, and waiting until Christ responds. Where is the Christ? Where is the Spirit of God? Well, we could all pass a test on that. We could say Christ is within, Christ is individual being, Christ is my consciousness, and so on. And we might even repeat those statements several times until we felt peaceful. The only thing we'd be missing is the Christ. God is that individual being, as well as God is my individual being, and it only takes one with God to be a majority. And the reason why I felt that was important is because in this work, in this healing work, this is not spiritual experiences, this is not knowing a few truths, this is not trying to be calm. This is called healing work. And it is the infinite way. And so in this healing work, you don't have to reach out to someone that calls or asks for help, because there's only one interior. If you contact it here, you've contacted it there, because there's only one. Now, he says, when I get very still and wait, he's going to tell you what happens to him. It may not be the same way for you, maybe just a little different, but the result will be the same. So listen up, and please, please be honest. When I get very still and wait, I eventually get that deep breath in there, what I call a click. Sometimes it comes with an actual message, and sometimes it doesn't. Other times it's more than the deep breath. But that deep breath is like a release. Suddenly I feel God is on the scene. I'm through. And then it brings harmony into this world. It brings harmony into relationships. It brings harmony into bones, hearts, livers, and lungs, and eyes. Do you see that? We've had the experience here of instantaneous healing of cataracts. You see, Joel's not walking around saying, this is all illusion. I don't feel that from him. I know in his meditation, when Christ reveals itself, it says everything else is illusion. Joel's not walking around in that. He's walking around with the inner knowing that contact with this inner presence heals bones, heart, liver, and lungs, eyes, relationships. Do you think that you can go beyond where he is? I doubt it. Not for a while. Well, then let us get honest and say, hey, yes, I know. I've known for a long time. I can pass a test on the letter of truth. God is the only presence, blah, blah, blah. But at this stage, on the path, in this thing called the infinite way, I am going to make that contact and see it flow out into the world as healing of people, places, and things. Now, the only part a person plays is living the life, practicing contemplation, practicing the presence, and the spirit can flow. You see, God is not mocked. You can't talk spirituality and about letting the Spirit of God flow and then be off on a Saturday night jamboree. You can't fill your mind with card playing or movies or television. You can't clutter up your consciousness with the filth of human existence. That won't work. And so the only part we can play, that's you and me, the only part you and I can play is in maintaining some measure of our spiritual integrity so that we can be in open transparency. And when we sit down, that spirit, that Christ we contact by going beyond the mind and entering the silence, that presence and power can flow. And how does it flow? Does it flow invisibly and we never see the results? No. It flows into form as harmony, as healing, as abundance. And if it doesn't flow and form itself, it ain't it. Not yet. You're still in the mind. Go back to the drawing board and find out how to enter the silence. So we keep ourselves in a state of readiness with contemplation and meditation. That That's why we meditate and contemplate God and the things of God and live in that contemplation. But that's a mental activity. That's not the contact with Christ. Now, look at what he says there. Meditate and contemplate, but that's a mental activity. We still haven't gone beyond the mind. It's a mental activity which enables us to keep the impurities out of the mind and allow the mind to be a useful function as a state of awareness, as an avenue of awareness. In that way, we keep the channels open for the experience of the Spirit. Now, if you read that paragraph and you heard it clearly, he's telling us meditation and contemplation is a mental activity. After that's done, we must go beyond that, rest in the silence, and then we can have a spiritual experience or a spiritual activity. But the meditation and the contemplation is not that experience of the Spirit. So to put this into practice is what constitutes the first battle that we go through for quite a period. And I suspect we're all standing right there. Again, I repeat, if this makes you uncomfortable, as it does me, then it is because you have not gone beyond the mind, and the mind is afraid of this. You have not gone beyond the mind. That's why it's scary. And maybe not even scary. Maybe there's no sense of fear with it. Maybe it's just, oh, this is so hard to do, not know any truth. So maybe you're not scared at all. Maybe there's no fear at all. Maybe it's just this little battle. Doggone it, there I am again, thinking a statement of truth, and I wasn't going to do that. Okay, maybe it's just as light as that. Still, it's pointing out to you, you have not yet gone beyond the mind. And if you have not yet gone beyond the mind, it is telling you, you have not yet experienced the Christ. And the other way you know you have not experienced the Christ, no matter what your mind is telling you, is because it has not flowed out here in the form of healings. Now that's the truth. You can believe it. You can deny it. You can rationalize. I know it's true. All right, so that's the first battle. Because your natural reaction is to say, when an error comes up, oh, that's a lie. That's no part of God. God is infinite. And believe me, he says, you've spoiled it right there. You've spoiled it right there. Spoiled what? Spoiled a chance for a healing. Why should we care about a healing? God is all, right? We shouldn't be caring about a healing. Oh, that's baloney. You're lying to yourself. The infinite way is about healing. Christ is the healing consciousness. That's what it does. Don't fool yourself and say, well, now I'm spiritual. I don't care about a healing. But dang, this arthritis is bothering me. But I'm above that now. Oh, you liar. You're lying. And I'm lying if I say that. Sometimes I have. No. He said at the beginning of this chapter, you should expect when you make the contact that healings will flow. That's how you know you've contacted Christ. That's how you know you're in the infinite way. So, here's your battle. Error comes to you. You're busy knowing the truth, even if only for a line or two. And you've spoiled any chance for a healing right there. Because you have tried to function through the mind. You've tried to function spiritually through your mind. And it can't be done. That's why there hasn't been any fruitage called healings. But if you shut it off immediately, refuse to be tempted to make a statement of truth or a denial, if you will grit your teeth, close your eyes, and wait, and let God do it. Pretty soon, you'll find there is a God. How? By having the experience and witnessing the healing. Now, do you see that? He can't make that much plainer. That's why the practice of the 12 times a day. So you can learn to turn within and wait. And wait. And wait. If you learn it there, then when it comes to being presented with problems, you'll be able to practice it there. All right, so Christ is a reality, but one which very few people ever experience. What does experience mean? It means feel its release, and witness it expressing as healing. And why do they not experience it? Because they function as body or as mind. And they do not transcend these to reach the spirit. Well, I'm pretty sure, not everybody on the list, but I'm pretty sure all of us have gone to the place where most of the time we're not living through the body. However, I am also sure most of us have been stuck for many years living through the mind, even knowing spiritual truth through the mind, and we have not gone beyond it. We have not experienced Christ's release and the healing which follows. Well, he says, why don't we just wait and let God's thoughts come? Well, in the beginning, that's where the hard work is. If you've been trying to do this 12 times a day, you know it's hard. It isn't easy, he says, because there are a million layers, a million years of layers, a million years of humanness, of human mind, which is a separation from God. All these barriers of antiquity exist as barriers through which God seems unable to break, to get into your individual awareness. But you and I are the ones that have to open out the way. And we do it by taking no thought, by refraining from thought, by taking no thought for your life, for his life, for her life, but waiting, waiting until God's thoughts come through. And I like this. He said, you know, if the voice of God ever came through and said, let's have water from these plants, water would flow. When that spiritual impulse comes through and it's not from the mind, I have seen people get out of bed, jump up and get out of bed. Now, if you haven't seen that, then I tell you, you have not been able to go beyond the mind. And he says here, you can pass the test and get 92% right, and you get a diploma, but you may not be able to heal a fingernail. So you must know it has taken all the years, whether 10, 20, or even 36 in my case, since you began your metaphysical studies, to bring you to this place where your spiritual consciousness is developed to the point where you're ready to go beyond the letter of truth, where you're able to say, good, the letter of truth is embodied in me. I know the truth, and now I'm ready to let the voice of God speak. Can't give this to a young student. They're not ready for it. But none of us are young students, that's for sure. I don't mean in age, I mean in years studying. So, to repeat, here is our mode of practice. Begin today, you and 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 you. Begin today whenever any problem is presented to you, whether it's yours or somebody else's. Agree with yourself immediately. You won't refute it, deny it, or make any declaration of truth. Close your mind to all of that immediately and say, none of that makes any difference now. And then just sit down and wait for an inner impulsion. But don't wait more than 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. If it doesn't come then, go back and try it 1 or 2 or 3 later. And if it doesn't come then, do it the same thing over again. Because in the beginning, I admit, says Joel, this is very hard work. And if we have taken the Kalua study series seriously, we are in the middle of this hard work. We are perhaps having 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 times a day in which we utter nothing, no truths, sit down and simply wait. Now we're added to that. When a problem is presented to us, we do the same thing. We sit down and wait for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. And if it doesn't come, we get up and we do the same thing again 1 or 2 later. Now, if you're not consciously practicing this and working and working and working at this, you're not going to develop the consciousness that is able to turn within and know instantly that silence. You're not going to develop the consciousness that can say, well, the consciousness that no longer has to know truth, not even one single solitary thought. The consciousness that's able to close its eyes and instantly hear the voice of God and see the result as a healing out here. You're not going to develop that unless you do this hard work. There does come the time when most of the problems that are presented to you are dispelled immediately. The moment you close your eyes, Christ comes to light instantaneously. But there are still problems that come to him, he says, that are not quickly met. They cause him to go back again and again and again and again for greater and greater and deeper realizations of the Christ. Once the true depth of it is achieved, then it really doesn't make any difference what the name or nature of the claim is. It has to respond, and it does. And it is only the few that now really need some sometimes long and sometimes hard work. All right, now, could you walk into the tuberculosis shack where someone was very advanced with tuberculosis and begin work with them, and the work that you would do would not know any truth at all whatsoever? You would simply be turning within to release this Christ. And then watch that Christ as it reveals harmony where that picture appears. Could you? If you can't answer that yes, honestly, honestly, then please get to work. Now, most of this work is much, much easier than water rolling off your back in the shower, I can tell you that, because most of it is not conscious work at all. Do you hear that? You see that? Before this, you sat down and you consciously knew truth, right? Am I right? Yes, I'm right. This truth or that truth, remembering impersonalization and nothingization and all that. Now he's telling you, it's no longer going to be on the conscious level. That means you're going to close your eyes and not know anything with your mind. You're going to feel an inner something that you can't define. You're going to experience an inner something, and you're going to see out here in some way you do not understand, don't know how it happened, can't define. Healing takes place. It won't be conscious thought. It is a work that takes place in consciousness without any conscious thought about it. Just as I certainly am not doing any conscious healing work here in this room, and yet I know healings have taken place right here. And that's what this comes to eventually. You sing your song, but you don't even know who's hearing it. Inwardly, you're living always in contact with this inner being. Now, I had a man wrote me an email, said he was having a doctor's visit because they had discovered cancer. They were going to do more tests to make sure that that's what it was. And they were pretty sure that he had cancer. So he wrote me an email and asked me if I would meditate for him, and I said yes. And this is one of the strangest cases I've ever had, because most of the time I can sit down, become still, and experience that presence. Like I said, that feeling of release. This time I sat down, I got quiet, and entered a silence, and that's all there was there, a silence. I felt nothing. I thought nothing. Nothing would come. Just a complete, total silence. And it was a little disturbing, because it's one of the first times I had that experience when such a so-called serious claim was being presented to me. And so I felt a little bit uncomfortable, because the conscious mind was not aware of anything that had happened. And yet, within a few days, the man wrote back and said it had disappeared. Went for more tests, and nothing was there. So when he says this will become something that's not a conscious activity, well, when I had that experience, I began to suspect very, very strongly that Christ doesn't need my mentality to work. And you think about that. In another book, Joel said, how would you heal something if you didn't have a mind? You think about that. So he says, do you see, if you were to persist, it would not be long until you experience the Christ? All right, so he's given it to you two ways. More than two. Over and over and over again he's given it to you. That's this whole Kai Lewis study series. How to go beyond the mind to the spirit. How to go beyond the letter to the Christ. Now, he's given it to you in these two ways also. He has said you need to go within 12 times a day with only one statement of truth at the most. And then once you've uttered it, be quiet. Be still and wait for the contact for 3 to 4 minutes. Now he's given it to you in another way, and yet the same. When you're presented with a problem, don't jump into that letter that you know so well and start to know the truth. Not even one sentence. Simply close the eyes, immediately go within yourself, and wait. He is trying to teach you how to develop the ability to be an instantaneous healer. Because you will never be an instantaneous healer, right? He is teaching you how to be an instantaneous, beyond-the-mind avenue of awareness through which healing takes place by Christ. So the rest is up to you. You can neglect it, and I know some of us have, right here in this class. You can achieve it occasionally, and I know some of us have. Or you can become so fascinated with it that you live consciously with it, and repeat it over and over and over and over again, until eventually you don't have to do it consciously anymore. It, this thing, this Christ, which you have contacted, will take over your life and live your life. Which was again what my dream was showing me when it said, you don't have to work that hard, and immediately the Christ lifted me up. So you reach the place where you don't ever, now listen to me, you don't ever have to consciously make contact with the Christ. The Christ is always that which is making contact with you. But that only comes with the degree with which we are faithful toward the frequent bringing to expression the activity of the Christ within us. And again, bring it into expression frequently. So you see, we have a work ahead of us, don't we? And yet when we reach this place, Christ will be living us. But that's not walking around as a human with a little peace of mind. That's not walking around as a human even knowing the truth. That's not walking around as a human knowing the truth mentally and seeing a little healing there and here and there. No, no. This is getting to the place where you have died to the mind completely. No longer is there a conscious activity in the mind necessary. You are a state of awareness through which you are constantly seeing Christ flow out into expression in this world as healing. And so, to finalize this, I wrote at the bottom, it is not enough to say, Christ is living me. It is not enough to know in the mind, Christ is living me. It must be nothing short of the actual conscious feeling of the Christ and the release that it brings, followed always by the awareness of that Christ as an outer demonstration of harmony, of peace, of healing. Then, and then only, is Christ living me.